Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Has anyone called you to account? $350 is missing from your cash register. Explain. What makes you so sure you can finish this project in 3 months? Convince me why I should believe you. When we are called to account, we have to give proof, receipts, evidence, an explanation. When the manager came by at 4 p.m., I gave her two checks, one for $200 and one for $150. My team is well informed. We have completed all our other projects. We have all the supplies we need, and we have timed out the project so we can get it done in 10.5 weeks. So we have some leeway in order to meet the 3-month deadline. I've never lied to you before. Some of the time when we are called to account, we don't have an answer like those answers that make us look good. Sometimes we have done what the person accusing us suspects. We have sinned. If we are honest, we recognize that our sin has led to a breach between us and those who trusted us. There are consequences for such a breach. Sometimes the consequence is jail. Sometimes it's restitution, paying back what we owe. Almost always, a loss of trust is a consequence. For instance, I will never trust my brother again. It's a long story, and a few of you have heard part of it, but that's how it's ended. Our readings for today speak about accounting, judgment, and keeping commandments. And there will be an accounting, a judgment, on earth and in heaven. We have some familiarity with the judgment on earth, how others regard us if we disappoint them or hurt them. Accounting in heaven will be different. Peter assures his readers in the middle of the second reading, Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. With God in heaven, we will be alive in the Spirit, as Peter mentions later. This is the good news that Peter and Paul and virtually all of the followers of Jesus from their time to ours have proclaimed. Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. That $350 missing from the register, covered. The lies and betrayals, covered. The egging of our church, covered. That is the good news and the source of our hope as Christians. When Peter wrote to some of those early converts to Christianity, he encouraged them to be ready to explain the impact of Jesus in their lives. To anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Hope in Jesus was unusual in the world at that time. They hoped in someone who healed people in body and spirit. Their hope was in Jesus, who told strange stories about God caring for obvious sinners. And Jesus also showed extreme personal care for obvious sinners. He suffered and died and was raised from the dead by God's power. Peter knew that the readers of his letter would be questioned. They would be called to account for their hope, that even though they suffered, God still intended good for them. Peter wanted them to be ready to be a witness for their faith in Jesus Christ, as he was ready, as Paul was ready. We know how Peter and Paul ended up crucified, like their dear Lord Jesus. They were crucified because they would not stop talking about Jesus. They would not stop encouraging others to put their full trust in Jesus as the beloved of the only true God. When you are willing to be crucified for the sake of the hope in Christ that is in you, that is hope that is worth an accounting. As any of us who have read the New Testament know, Paul was not always careful with his word choice. He could be very blunt, but not in our first reading. Here, Paul is in Athens, home of great philosophers, poets, sculptors, and architects. The Areopagus is a rock outcropping on the side of a hill, a particular hill between the Agora, the great marketplace of ancient Athens, where Socrates went on trial, and the Acropolis, site of the Parthenon and other temples. In this speech, Paul is inspired. He demonstrates that he knows his audience, complimenting them on their religious concerns. And he uses various proofs to convince them that the unknown God they worship is the same God he worships. God, Creator, Redeemer, Spirit, made known through the appointed man, Jesus Christ. This masterful speech is how Paul gave the accounting for the hope that was in him. Any of us who wonder how to share the good news of what God has done in Jesus would do well to study and reflect on Paul's speech here. The advocate promised by Jesus in today's gospel had already come by the time Peter and Paul began talking about what God had done through Jesus. The word advocate means one who speaks to or speaks for. The advocate, the Spirit of truth, helped to provide the words for Paul and for Peter. The advocate has helped to provide words and God's own Spirit of truth for all who have loved God ever since. And may the Advocate continue to be with all of us as we seek to live in the love of Christ and account for our hope. Amen.